For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
The healing power of God. Heavenly Father, we praise you, Lord, and thank you. We thank you for your wonderful blessing in our lives. We thank you, Lord, that as we look into your word, we see that your will is for us to be healed and healthy and strong in you. And Father, I pray that tonight, as your word is preached, faith would arise in our hearts. And we, as we choose to believe, are open to receive from you in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. So we know that God is the healer. It's not a man that's a healer. We are conduits, we are channels of God's blessing, but it is God that does the healing and the provision. Let's look at Psalm 103. It's always good to put it into our sight, first of all, and that goes into our heart as we look at it and believe it. And we understand that God is our healer. He is our healer. And you may not feel as though you're healed, but the provision of healing is that the Lord Jesus Christ has indeed redeemed us. Now, these benefits that we read are in the New Testament as well. And they're all in the redemption that the Lord Jesus Christ has paid for us. Psalm 103, starting from verse 1, and we'll go to verse 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Several of these benefits touch on healing. Can you see that? Who healeth all thy diseases. All. So healing is one of God's benefits that we're to remind our soul of. Redeemeth thy life from destruction, sickness, oppression, infirmity, that's destructive. But God redeems our life from destruction. You know, mercy, often the Bible talks about mercy in the context of healing. And talks about people receiving their healing they've received of the mercy of God. Youth being renewed like the eagles. God's strength and renewal in your body. Glory to God. Now the price for our healing and health has been paid for, as I mentioned before, in the redemption that's been provided by what the Lord Jesus Christ has done on the cross. And it was by his blood that we have had our redemption paid for, the blood of God. As sinners, none of us deserved forgiveness when we were sinners. None of us deserved healing. None of us deserved God's prosperity. But as the righteous, we access the blessings paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm reminding you of this tonight because God has paid for those benefits, those blessings, the benefits of salvation. It hasn't come through a man like you and me. It's come from God himself, who became a man, shed his blood, and purchased the church. God purchased the church with his own blood. So we see redemption is a very important thing. It's not something that we should put aside. If we look, and we'll just read this in Galatians 3:13 and 14, because there's a few other scriptures I want to go through. But I want to remind you so that it's in your heart that it's been the will of God and is the will of God for you to be healed and whole. And it's not something that has been an afterthought. Oh yes, I'll just tack on healing so that, you know, people can get forgiven and then healed, possibly randomly. It's not that, no. God has provided healing in his redemption that he's provided for us. So Galatians 3:13 and 14, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Notice, we receive through faith. Receive through faith. Keep that in mind. Curse of the law, we won't go into the scriptures about it, but we know in Deuteronomy 28 it describes about the curse of the law, and it talks a lot in there about that curse being sickness and infirmity and destruction. So Christ hath redeemed us from that. He was made a curse for us. So he's taken the sin and everything attached to sin, the curse, upon himself. He was made a curse for us. So when people come to the Lord for anything, including healing, they must receive it by faith, which is believing God that results in action. Put yourself in a faith atmosphere to believe and receive. So there's many people who should be here tonight who aren't, but they desperately need to be, and the Lord, by his grace and mercy, will make sure that this message gets out using us. Let's have a look at Luke 5:17-25. Here we see something that's very interesting. We see the power of the Lord was present to heal people, yet did everyone receive, is the big question. So Luke 5, and we'll look starting from verse 17 of Luke 5. And it says, and it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, talking about Jesus, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And that's what it says at the last part here. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. So first of all, Jesus must have had in his teaching something about the healing of God and the power of God. So he was teaching, and we know that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And as he was teaching, there would have been some that would believe what he was saying and some that didn't believe what he was saying. What do you think about the Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by? Do you think they were believing? What does it say here? Let's have a read of what it says. Now, we see the power of the Lord was present to heal, but not everyone in that crowd received their healing, because faith has to be present to receive. In other words, you believe and you act on that believing. You say, I believe and I receive what I know has been provided by the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 18 says, and behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, so there was a lot of people there, wasn't there? A lot of people there. They went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. So they were very serious to get before Jesus. Okay?
Now, verse 20 is a wonderful verse to take hold of. And when he saw their faith, because he knew that faith would connect with that, what we just read before, power of the Lord to heal. When he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Some people need to ask for forgiveness, need to have forgiveness to clear, repentance is a clearing ground. And faith works by love, so things get in the way of love and so on. That needs to be cleared out of the way. So it says, and when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Verse 21. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason. So think about this. The scribes and the Pharisees were right there, as it says in verse 17, they were sitting by, Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. But did they have faith, or did they believe what he was preaching and teaching, and did they believe? Well, it's obviously they didn't. Because verse 21 says, And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? So, think about it. They think that Jesus is speaking blasphemies. Is that the heart of a believing person? Is that a person who's ready to receive? Obviously not. Verse 22, But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts, whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins? He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that wherein he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. So we see that healing causes people to glorify God. So what do we notice here just in this section of Scripture? First of all, we see that Jesus was teaching, and we know faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So first of all, Jesus was teaching the word. There must have been something about healing in that, because it talks about the end of that verse 17, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Secondly, we see that there were people such as the Pharisees and doctors of the law who were of an unbelieving type of nature. You know, we can't see what people are thinking. But if they're sitting in under good teaching of the word and are not believing, that can be a big... Well, the Bible talks about an evil heart of unbelief. That can be a big barrier. And so do you think the Pharisees and doctors of the law received healing? Because you've got to believe it. Believe what's being taught and you receive. Well, clearly not. We saw that they didn't. But we saw that there were people that did have faith. And Jesus saw their faith in verse 20. When he saw their faith. And so it's important to understand that if people are believing, well, I believe that when we get this man that's on the couch, this paralyzed man before Jesus, and he says something, I could have said whatever there, he makes a command or whatever, I believe, or we believe, that something's going to happen. Now remember what I've said to you over the last few days. You come expectant. You say, when I have hands laid upon me, I believe I'll receive my healing, because God has paid for it. and I can believe I receive it. Glory to God. So when people come to the Lord for anything, including healing, they must receive it by faith, because God, believing God, that results in action. And we see that even if the power of the Lord is present to heal, unless you have the right attitude, you may miss out, because it could be a barrier. Looking at Mark 11:24, God puts down here how people can receive from him. Mark 11:24. So it says in Mark 11:24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, well, you can desire healing, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Notice, ye shall have them is a future thing. So you have to believe you receive right there. You might still feel as though you haven't been healed, but you believe you've received it, and you shall have it. You say, I know that the Lord Jesus Christ has paid for my healing. The Bible tells us that he has redeemed us from the curse of the law. And in that curse of the law is sickness and infirmity. We know that. So what's the thing here, the connection here? Believing. Believe that you receive them. Believe that you receive. We saw the Pharisees, they were all types of reasoning against what Jesus was saying. They were even accusing him of blasphemy. So believing that you're receiving. Believe that you receive and you shall have. So believing is before the receiving, and you shall have. Look also at Matthew 21:22. Matthew 21:22. So we put ourselves into a faith atmosphere, and we start to believe the word of God preached and taught. And that in that atmosphere, it's easy to receive. So Matthew 21:22. It says, in all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. So we see believing very important, and it connects you, you shall receive. As you're believing, you're receiving. We're looking tonight at receiving the healing power of God. The power of God, I believe, is present to heal people tonight. You can believe, you receive. And you shall have it. Look at Hebrews 11. So we talked about faith. Jesus saw the faith of that paralyzed man who had been lowered through the roof, sick of the palsy. We saw that because they had faith, they were believing what Jesus was teaching. No doubt they heard about him and had perhaps even sat through some of his other sermons. They were in a situation where they were ready to receive. They were ready to receive. So Hebrews 11 is all about faith. As you know, it's often called the faith chapter. And so there's some really good examples in here. But let's look at faith. Verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So think about this. When you prayed for, you believe you receive, but you don't say, oh, I'm still feeling horrible, so therefore I don't believe I've received. It's not based on sight. The Bible says that we walk by faith, not by sight. We're not talking about ignoring your eyes. We're talking about in the spirit realm you've received, and it will manifest in the physical. But you've got to, you know, the devil doesn't want you to be walking like that. He wants you to be all sight focused. But faith is all about believing, and it's substance of things hoped for. What are we hoping for? Well, we believe, we receive. So it's the evidence of things not seen. You have to have faith, and faith is built up through the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And we know that that's in Romans 10:17. Also looking in Hebrews 11 here, look at verse 6. So if you're approaching God, you've got to be a believer. Because it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So you've got to believe that he is. That he exists, yes, but that he is everything he says he is. He is our Redeemer. He is our healer. He is our strength. All of this is in Scripture. He is the provider of salvation. He is the one that hears our prayers, and so on. We could go on and on. And we've got to believe that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we diligently seek him, and he gives to his people freely. But diligently talks about you are serious. You're serious about the things of God. So look at verse 11. I mean, there's many examples through Hebrews, but we're looking at a particular healing example here in verse 11. Now Sarah, who was Abram's wife, was barren. She couldn't have children. But notice, if she was a faith person, because without faith it's impossible to please God, she must have had faith, and it says it here, verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. So God gave a word to both Abraham and Sarah, and she believed that word. She believed that Abraham would be a father of many nations, even though at the time he was not with child. He didn't have a child. Of course, Isaac came through Sarah, and we see here how she was able to get pregnant, how she was able to conceive seed. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. We, through faith, receive things. We receive the power to get healed. We receive strength. We receive the healing that's provided through faith. Through faith. So we see a wonderful example here of a healing which was received through faith. Because, as it says, because she judged him faithful who had promised. She believed what God had promised. She believed that. She believed God's word. Glory to God. Look at Mark 5. Mark 5. Now, we see a wonderful example here. And it's an example which Jesus pinpointed how this woman was able to receive her healing. And no doubt you have read this passage in Mark 5. We'll look at verse 25-29, first of all. 25-29. Now remember what the spirit of faith is. We read it many times. Spirit of faith is, I believed and therefore have I spoken. So there's an action you can do. So we believe, we speak, we can receive. Glory to God. So looking here in Mark 5, 25 to 29, 25, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, that's a long time, isn't it, to have a problem like that, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Okay, so it attacked her prosperity as well, undermined. When, verse 27, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, okay, so she had a faith goal, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. So she believed this. If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. So she must have heard of Jesus and who he is and what was happening through him and probably what he was preaching. And she knew that out of him was coming healing. As we read before, the power of God was present to heal. So she must have been expecting something, because she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Verse 29 tells us the result. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. So we see, I shall be whole. And she was whole. Now verse 34, you can read the rest of that other part. How she then went to Jesus, or Jesus asked what had happened, because he sensed that the power of God had come out of him, virtue, the healing, anointing power of God had come out of him. But notice what he said. How did that woman access that power? Verse 34, and he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Thy faith hath made thee whole. So he pointed to her faith. We see, and we've talked about faith. Faith is about believing the word, believing the truth, and receiving. Believing and receiving. So tonight, we can be people that we've heard the word, you may have been exposed, you know, for many years to this type of teaching. You may never have been, but as you receive it and believe it, you can receive from God, because it's through faith that we receive from God. And that's the way this woman received it, and there's quite a few other scriptures in the Gospels which talk about where Jesus said, thy faith hath made thee whole. Let's just look at the end part of Mark 16, verse 18. Mark 16, 18b. I just want to quote this for you. Just at the end of Mark. Mark 16, 18b. This is the very last part of 18. They shall lay hands, and this is talking about these signs shall follow them that believe. In verse 17 it says that, in my name they shall they cast out devils, and so on. But right at the very last part of verse 18, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So don't be like those Pharisees or doctors of the law, who were trying to reason in their hearts and reasoning away things, but say, Lord, I choose to believe that Jesus has provided healing and redemption. that by the stripes of the Lord Jesus Christ I was healed. I choose to believe that. He was made a curse for me. And he healeth all my diseases according to Psalm 103. I choose to believe that. And I know it's there. I believe that when hands are laid on me in prayer, I will receive my healing in the name of Jesus. And they shall recover. You know, we saw that man, the sick of the palsy, Jesus said, thy sins are forgiven. Sometimes we need to get ourselves right with the Lord first. So I'm going to just, let's all bow our heads tonight. And if there is anything you need to get right with the Lord first, so then you can have a clear channel to receive from the Lord before I call you out. Just follow through with me. So I'll pray for you. So Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that the Lord Jesus Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. We thank you for the provision of your benefits of salvation. And Lord, we are believers. We are believers. If you need to get something right before the Lord, just quietly before you and God, say something like this: Heavenly Father, I know I have done, and you name it, but Lord, please forgive me. Wash me clean by the blood of Jesus. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Lord, I repent of this, and I receive my forgiveness in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God.